Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight we have Gwen Holden-Berry with us. We're going to be talking about the 8-minute galactic change coming up in less than 60 hours. But first, Broccoli Samurai. And hello, Gwen.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yeah. I still don't hear an echo. We want to tell our listeners we were having problems with echoing. we should be okay now.
It's true, and it's still happening, but what am I going to do?
Okay, I don't hear it. If somebody in chat wants to tell us if you can hear any thing you shouldn't, let us know, and I don't know what steps we'll take, but anyway, let us know. So I just said when you were coming back in this time that it's less than 60 hours from now we're having the 8-minute
birthday of Aquarius.
Yes. Now, way back in the, what was it, 60s and 70s when those songs came, or the song came out, and, you know, that this is the time it's the hippies and everything, and they were talking about the dawning of Aquarius.
That was actually from the musical Hair. And the best recording was the big one, was by the Fifth Dimension.
Right. And so even, I mean, that was when, well, people became aware that there might be such a thing, I guess.
It was the astrologers, mm-hmm. and the age of flower power and hippie power and the new dimension of love and all that there.
So it was sort of ushering in then. Yeah, I can't remember not hearing about the Age of Aquarius or 2012. Not necessarily together, but, I mean, you know, I just grew up hearing about those. And the Age of Aquarius sounded wonderful, and 2012 was something to dread. At the beginning when I first heard, yeah, it was sort of like, ooh, you know, the world's going to end, and it's this and this. But even as a kid, I thought, well, you know, we're probably going to be finding out that it's not quite like that. But I had no idea that it would be like it is now.
The schedule I remember basically with Aquarius, Hair, the positive uplifting factor, new age coming. And then, as I got a little bit older and interested in esoteric and cult studies, it became about Nostradamus' prophecies, and I think that coupled with the ability of people to use the 2012 winter solstice as the disembarkation point of ages, which came a little later, they began to put the Nostradamus and the drama and all of that to it. It really wasn't ever part of Terence McKenna's, even when he was speaking about singularities, or John Major Jenkins, all the people, you know, who began to disseminate the information about the Mayan calendar.
Okay. So it was, somebody took it and sort of ran with it, maybe not in the direction that they should have. They say that there's still a little echo on you, Gwen.
I'm not hearing it now.
Okay. Okay, and maybe she isn't either. Okay.
If anybody's hearing, Tricia, if you're hearing an echo on me, please say so.
Just a little. Okay, no, it stopped. It just stopped. So whatever you just did, keep doing it.
I didn't do anything.
Okay, keep doing nothing. That'll work. Wow.
It's been people have exploited, as they always do, is the information for their own purposes.
Yeah.
And really, it's beautiful, inspiring, positive stuff. You know, I read something that a friend of mine just posted that really caught me and made me think. And it, basically, I'm looking for it right now. And I'll share it with you because it's just absolutely good stuff. Murphy posted it.
Okay, we like good stuff. Yeah.
She said, negative people need drama like it was oxygen. Stay positive and take their breath away.
Okay. I sort of read that one more time. I like that.
I will. I'm so sorry about this echo thing.
Yeah. Well, like you say, it's still echoing in Iowa. Imperfect.
It came back on me too. Okay. Negative people need drama like it was oxygen. Stay positive and take their breath away.
That's wonderful, and that is so true, that the people I know who are so dramatic about everything are the most negative people around. The drama is never for good things, it seems.
Well, it teaches us through myths. The myths are all drama to teach us lessons about life.
Oh, sure, like fairy tales.
Yeah, well, we need it all.
Yeah.
It's just that there's seasons, and we can turn to the different seasons, you know, like we should, and be happy. There's a time to be happy, a time to be joyful, a time to be sad.
Right. Well, we don't want to live on that plateau where nothing affects us. I mean, no matter how comfortable or whatever, just going along an even keel, that must be extremely boring. Not that it's not good to find it occasionally. You have to.
I absolutely agree. I mean, it gives us the tools we need to learn and grow.
Yeah. I was going to say that we're talking with Gwen Holdenberry from Here Be Monsters on Blog Talk to You. Blog Talk Radio, CBS, and Daughters of Isis.
That number that you see calling in,
right,
is me.
Right. So we're going
to
try.
We'll try to get a better connection.
Okay, then. We're trying our best. Okay, let's see. Here we go. Another. Okay. Now. Okay, I've got you on two. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
I don't think we're getting the damn thing, but it's okay. Amazing. I've read all the talk about tech glitches and quality for internet.
And
I seem to be myself. I'm so sorry.
No, it sometimes, I mean, it's totally out of our hands, and you've called in, you know, a few times, so it is what it is. It hasn't thrown anybody off. Skype hasn't dropped it. You know, it's like we're just grateful for the technology is wonderful, and I understand nothing about it, and even when I get frustrated, I still, you know, it's like, well, okay, at least we have it, and it works most of the time.
There you go.
That's it. But well, now, when did you and why did you start getting interested in the 2012, the Age of Aquarius?
I'll tell you, Daughter's Devices is based on the information to a certain degree. He had the shop in Pompano Beach. I began reading a lot of different books. One of the first ones I got into was First Ascending, and it's a companion book by Jose Arguez, The Mayan Fact. And it took me three reads to actually digest it. And in that book, he suggested that houses of sensuality in the new age were going to be needed to actually help people create tools to help people awaken and beginning to open up their consciousness and connectivity to other dimensions.
Okay, and then that was, like you said, when you had your shop and you've been mixing these elixirs, the oils and all, for years and years. In fact, you've taught in Europe. So it started to fall into place then for you.
Yeah, it's a journey.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I've paid a lot of attention to certain teachers and authors, like Jane Jenkins, Graham Hancock, Barbara Hancock, all of these people have been new conscious awareness authors who have with indigenous and multiple cultures to bring the story up to speed, you know?
Mm-hmm. So you dug a bit, and then I guess when you start finding one thing, it just leads you to others or other people. So, you put several together to help with your information. So,
yeah, I think it's about luck, too, being in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, but, you know, like we say, there's no such thing as coincidence.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah, I guess I would say that I believe that to be about 99% true. I mean, once in a while, you know, like a cigar is a cigar, so maybe something was coincident, but not not very often. Yeah.
No, not often.
Especially these days.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 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 Synchronicity. This is it. This is what Trisha's saying. Yeah. That's it's just. It works. Well, we know also that the thoughts and the energy that we send out will attract like.
Yes.
I mean, and whether that means that it's something that we find or somebody that finds us and, you know, is drawn in or whatever, what we send out is really important. But I wanted to ask you, October 28th, 2011, what was that date about?
That was John Allen's calculation for the end of the long count, Mayan calendar.
Okay.
So half of the Mayan elder and academic community agreed with his calculation. And another half said it had to be solstice.
Of this year?
Yes, because of the alignment.
Ah, okay.
The alignment's happening, but I tell you, the end of the calendar, I really do think the calculations were correct, and they did end on the 11th, October 28th, 2011. I think there's real substantiation for that, although I am not an astrologer or astronomer or a, I don't know how to develop an algorithm that would calculate it. Mm-hmm. And because the Mayan daykeepers are kind of, they're all very tradition in Belize. It's not the same tradition in Oaxaca. basically, I think that what happens is that we all know it's about this time, and I think that's part of the lesson. It's about a period of time. The 8 minutes that are coming up this weekend.
Right.
There is an actual true astrological alignment, and it is about the apex of it. And I do think there's great, there is a great moment of inspiration that each and every one of us in every piece of life in this solar system really can take be a part of, because the alignment is not with the planet Earth. It is with our star, our life giver, the sun. And we are the third planet from the sun, so we're going to be getting quite a wash of this energy. And it's that apex point, the moment on the ecliptic, you know?
Right.
And if you're on the east coastline, this will be at about 2:56 a.m. in the morning. So if you're in your time zone, it would be about 1:56 a.m., correct?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and on down, we are on the dark side of it because the sun will be hitting mostly the other side of the world. So it's going to be, that's going to be on the 22nd, Tommy.
Right, Saturday morning, Tommy.
Yeah.
Yeah, 1:56, and you can count on it. I'm awake. I will be. I'll be here. I'm so excited. Yeah, but I didn't realize. Okay, so we're on the darker side.
Yeah.
As it spins. Okay.
I have no idea what the effect will be. But I think we're going to see subtle differences.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure. It's great. It's the birthday of Aquarius.
There you go. We've been hearing about the dawning of the age for so long, all these decades, and it's like, okay, it's birthday time, so please celebrate. Now, there were a few hints that a Mayan elder gave as far as what we could do maybe to mark this time?
Be in your integrity and be very, whatever your meditative stance is, connected to the light, connected to the planet, and collective to, I'm going to be reaching right out to the galactic center myself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And bring it on down through the sun, and then into you, and through you, into the heart of the planet.
Right.
And I can manage to do that with creative light visualization. I'm going to be a big boy on the block. I mean, can you imagine?
I know Trish is saying she's totally jazzed. It's like, yeah. I thought earlier that, maybe I'd get some sleep Friday night after Friday night show. But it's like, no, I'm going to be so, yeah, I doubt that I sleep before. Yeah, it is. You know, and I didn't ask you this ahead, but I'm going to ask you now. Would you, for listeners who may not know when we're talking about a visualization or a meditative visualization, would you just give maybe a simple one that they could use if they're up at this time?
Well, yes. I'll do my very best.
Okay. Or like, I mean, they could do this right before that time or during or whatever. Yeah.
What I do is I ground myself very physically. I get comfortable. Or I get in a working position if I'm here at the event. And I quietly compose myself. And then I visualize. In other words, in my mind's eye, I see light streaming out in a spiral from the heart of the Milky Way galaxy. And I visualize it traveling to our sun and then coming through our sun. And from there, I bring that spiraling light down through my crown chakra here on the planet and through me and feet and into the heart, the iron ore crystal heart, the hot one of the planet.
Okay. You're just totally connecting.
Yes.
From way, way out to, and you're using yourself as a connector, because then from you it goes right on into the heart of the planet. So, okay, and you've actually been doing this for a while, haven't you? Getting prepared for this.
It's how I work at the bench.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the truth. I actually got this visualization idea from watching a Shirley MacLaine video on chakra awakening.
Ah, okay. Okay. I don't think I ever saw that. I do quite a bit with the chakras. I just they seem very familiar to me. So, well, now, are just on a personal level, are you going to be with some people at this time, or are you going to choose to be by yourself, or what?
Actually, I'm to be with all family from Otter's Ice that night. Not even a half mile from the old shop.
Okay.
We're going to be at Chief Nana, Ace, my sister, all of us.
That's going to be very cool.
That happened too.
Yeah. Well, somebody said that we should have a pen and paper.
Yes. When you're working in this eight-minute period, you might get a lot of really great ideas. And you don't want to lose them.
Right. Yeah.
Was it Hugh that wrote the whiskers down the drain he was shaving? He should have written words and came on the mirror.
Yeah, I think that's happened to all of us. It's like, oh, this is so great. I'll remember and don't. So, okay. Well, you know, there's been a lot of speculation. Well, I shouldn't say speculation. Certain religious, I would say fringes, have been talking about it literally being the end of the world. I've been very impressed by the mainstream religions because I haven't heard that from any of them. But maybe that's just me. But I haven't seen. And in fact, in China, I just saw headlines a couple days ago that they arrested some doomsday cultors. But I should have read the thing because it's like, I don't know what they were doing. They must have been doing something, getting in the way, but they were arrested. But I haven't heard much about that, about the literal end of the world. Have you?
Not really.
No. That's so I would say that that actually is a sign that people are evolving. And
I think you're right.
You know, it's like we're getting excited about it in a good way. And then there's the people who just don't put any credence in it at all, but at least they're not panicking. I think that humankind is coming along. What do you think? Now you said that you think there's going to be some subtle changes. In what areas? And do you think there's going to be, over, say, the next 2 weeks, any major change that makes us say, wow, that started that morning?
The kickoff.
Yeah.
I'm not a prognosticator. I'm not an astrologer. So I can confidently remark on that. I think it's going to be extraordinarily slow. We're going through such catalyzing incidents and events day by day. You know, I mean, I'll have to do a little scout there.
Right.
So I think that these extraordinary events are sort of opening us up to change through the trauma of rebirth.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think that's very plainly there. And the changes that come are going to seem subtle while they're going on, but we'll turn back and look and see, oh my gosh, we really did change.
Okay, so you think that it might be subtle to that degree where 5 years ahead of now, we look back and say, wow, like you said, we really changed. But while we're doing it, it's, even though it's fast, it's incremental, and we're not going to maybe notice it quite as much.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. A friend of mine was saying that she thinks after the 21st, 22nd, that it's going to be much calmer. And I just never quite got what she really meant, as far as if she meant, you know, nations of war or people, if she just meant like people in their core will be calmer because of this event, whether they know what they're doing or not, they may feel a little more grounded maybe.
Well, I think one of the things that's going to happen is that the base of connectedness of a lot of people within what we would call our community, Ra, you know, the spiritual
right.
and metaphysical. Let's resurrect the right name for us, the New Age community. I think the base of our connectedness is going to rapidly swell.
Okay.
I think that, you know, already Deepak Chopra has in his Well YouTube channel a really fine program going on for bringing conscious awareness up and shifting the consciousness of this planet to people who are awake. And basically, that's what's going to happen as far as that push of energy from my best instincts and from what I've heard from the Maya mm-hmm. and from a lot of other indigenous groups and healers and medicine people. It's awakening. There's an awakening. You know, we've been awake for a while. We've been here holding a planetary consciousness.
Right.
On you know, the 22nd during 8 minutes, I think we switched from planetary consciousness to galactic mind.
That's exciting. Yeah, it's like no longer are we going to just be worrying or connecting, whatever, with our planet and our little system around us, but we're going to encompass the big one.
Well, and that has everything to do with people's personal cosmologies, their mm-hmm. personal creation stories. And by that I mean, you know, what do you think? What is your world? I mean, my world, my neighborhood is a solar system. My world is an expanding universe.
Yes.
Exactly. That's how my ancestors thought.
Right.
And they left us all these clues.
Right, and, you know, the borders and all this, I mean, there's a lot of work we need to do here because, we're not as great as we know humans are, and humans really are, still we have a lot going on that isn't. And beings from elsewhere may not, you know, really, we're not a prize exactly right now, the way we're treating each other. So, you know, but the vibratory rate it's rising.
Very much.
Yeah, we've noticed this past year. I've talked to you and several people, and it's just like, oh, yeah. Things are different. The senses, you were talking again about the sensuality.
Senses are shifting. And it's our senses that are the tools that are going to enable us to turn our brains back on, shift our consciousness. It's as physical as it is spiritual. As above, so below.
Yeah.
It's about turning the brain back on, like embryo brain, you know? Left, right brain, connectivity. And you can do it. And the only tool you need is your own intention and healing techniques and exercises or creative visualization.
Right, and if somebody isn't where they actually know any physical practitioner or teacher or something, you know, YouTube is just filled with good.
Well, you and I talk about having groups on Google and Hangouts. We're doing that in January.
Yeah. I mean, so we have all this technology, and we should be using it. I've seen quite a bit recently about opening the pineal gland, which is the third eye. Would you want to talk a little bit about that? Because it's fascinating.
The Palladians handled information to Barbara Gignac about what they call the Alta chakra, which they placed the eighth chakra. They placed it sort of on pons over the brain stem behind the spine hill. And they talked about working with both of them, creative light visualization to open them up. And I think it works. I think it works. Much as like when royals or priests were born to the Maya, they put the softly stone wrapped around the forehead of them so that they would connect and open up the pineal and be able to see and create numbers that calculated the Big Bang till infinity.
You had told me about that, and I did not know, and that's amazing to me that you, because we know, we always hear about how a baby has all these soft spots, and you know, you can do almost anything right when they're born, and so they would put the stone on them to reform their head, basically.
But there was
a purpose.
And nail on.
Yeah.
Open it up like when Pharaoh was in Egypt with crown in Egypt. They spoke about how his head festered and for a year and a day. But when Pharaoh removed the crown and healed, he was a god.
He was working with both halves of the brain. Yeah, I was going to say, so the first Mayans to do this. Now, how did they know back then?
Well,
that they could, you know, that I'm sure the elders have always had some type of inspiration and knowledge. And how did it come? I mean, from where?
I have to say, I think We don't have all three. When the ice age came and Atlantis fell, a lot was... It's my guess that, like all of the enigmas, Machu Picchu pyramids, everything's been accomplished without explanation. I think basically what happened is we lost those histories, and people and humanity was much more advanced than we are now.
Okay. Do you believe, as some do, that there were some kind of aliens that had visited and helped?
I think we're the aliens.
Okay.
I think dimensionally we are, and also think there are aliens. Yes.
Right. Well, I definitely think there are, but... You think that we, because we came here for some reason.
Time is part of it too, you know. Be it us tomorrow or us yesterday.
Well, if we can talk about the parallel lives and worlds and the circular, the cycle that just is round, there's no beginning, no end. That is interesting. So besides then just taking in this subtle or maybe not so subtle energy for the 8 minutes, how soon do you think that those of us who are trying to be awake and aware and feel it, what do you think we're going to be? I mean, are we going to Saturday morning do something really nice and crazy and all for our fellow mankind, or what?
Like I said, I think it'll get subtle.
I think we should get together. Sorry. Well, I have no idea. But I'm excited. Yeah. And now, this is an alignment with our sun and
the heart of heaven.
The heart of heaven.
The galactic center. It's the black hole in the middle of the Milky Way galaxy.
Right, and it only happens every 26,000 years.
Correct. Of course. Astronomers right now are saying that they can't say that that's true because the phenomenon has never been done before. Recorded, you know?
Right, recorded, yeah. To the best of our knowledge, it hasn't, yeah. So.
Yeah. My guess is this has happened before.
Yeah.
And every age that comes down the pike, you know, every 2,000 to 2,600 years, every age, and by the way, we're leaving the age of belief, or I believe, and we are entering this weekend the age of knowledge, the demonstration, the experience, the I know, I don't believe. I used to get in trouble with the nuns for saying, well, I don't believe things. That's just thinking about it.
Okay, so now we are going to I know.
Yes.
Yes. That is exciting.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
You know.
Because belief.
And it's also, I think, about filling our own boots because we've placed our divinity and our power outside ourselves for over 6,000 years.
Right.
The goddess doesn't put up with that kind of bullshit. She wants to talk to you eye to eye.
Exactly. It's too much. In just every way, we have given up ourselves for whether it's to a religious, quote unquote, leader or to a political party or even just another person that we're in relationship with.
Yes, it's the ultimate codependence, you could say. I read an interesting thing, and I'm not sure, you might have posted it, that said that that the third largest group of believers, if you will, on the planet didn't believe in any religion. And I or maybe I posted it.
Maybe you posted it. I haven't seen it. I didn't post it. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, well, the first group is Christians, the second group is Muslims, and the third group is people who don't believe in religion. And I said, well, that's the critical thinking crowd. You know, I don't believe in religion either. I am definitely a spiritual woman.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And well, now you went to Catholic school. I didn't go to a parochial school, but I grew up in a Baptist church. And I don't regret that at all. There were many things I learned from that. But
yes.
I outgrew it, and I'm not trying to negate it when I say that, but for me, I wasn't finding the answers there because it was very dogmatic.
Controlling.
And, yeah, very controlling. So
yeah,
I had to, you know, go looking. So that's very interesting, that the third largest group. Well, you know, on Facebook, I have a lot of atheist and agnostic friends, and
yeah.
Well, I've noticed that they seem to be so much, and I'm generalizing, so I should say some of them are so much more conscious and trying to work for whether it's world peace or the environment or something than a lot of the people I know from the big three with the Abrahamic background. And I'm not sure. Someone said, well, you know, those groups believe that, you know, they can just destroy the world because, well, Jesus is coming or the Messiah or whatever, and then things are going to change anyway. And that might be it, that they just don't seem to care as much about the environment as the atheists and agnostics. And to me, it's just sort of a strangeness.
It is. I agree with you.
Yeah. Yeah, Tommy, our friend Tommy Schmitz in the chat, he went to a Catholic school too. So you guys sometimes you commiserate.
I don't miss the judgment, absolutism, my way or the highway, the beatings.
Yeah. Well, that's what I had always heard. Now, I grew up in a small town. There was not a Catholic school. There was one grade school, one high school, you know, one junior high. This is the way it is. But I've heard people, you know, since I've been an adult, talk about being, I mean, really hurt by the nuns or having rulers and things broken across their hands.
Well, I got that.
God, I mean,
and I got a ruler or two across my knuckles.
Yeah. See that's I don't know. I missed all of that. Thank goodness. in my own little school, because I was a good student, and I just, you know, I did whatever until I got to high school and things change, you know, that puberty thing. Now, have you called in again on another line, Gwen?
I have, because this one is going.
Okay, I've got you on the other. Okay. Okay, now talk on this one.
I'm talking on this one.
Okay, we're good, yeah. Now, Tommy said he got brainwashed, which was the most terrible torture.
Well,
and that probably is.
I didn't get brainwashed. But I did
Going from I believe to I know is going to just, I think, now there again, some people say I know, and I guess that they, what they know may not be the truth as far as the rest of us go, but I mean, I'm just going to say, yeah, to go to I know, well, I mean, it's an improvement over I believe. And hopefully they will.
Well, I think it's an improvement because it's easier to say in peer pressure and with people who are pressuring you, like a group, But to make a commitment requires a thing. Sit down and think about it. And so we talk so much about critical thinking skills being left by the side of the road. I say they're in the get pack on Saturday night, on Friday night. Passing through this patina of cosmic energy is picking up a new skill set. And Tommy's saying that experience, real feeling, no words are necessary. And I would say, boy, do I honor that. And I would say that's part of an experience demonstration.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. You really, really know. That in itself, to have, even if it starts out with just, you know, not a huge number, but people who start having that feeling and knowing, and because it's impossible then for us all not to notice that. I think that in itself is going to be a change. It may start out subtly, but down the road.
Well, it's so important for people who are awakened, like yourself, myself, all the people we work with, many of the people that we are in contact with socially in the networks and in our lives. Our job just is about to get boosted big time.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, that awakening number is going to swell. Our connective phase is about to get much larger. And it's up to us to be the elders now.
Right. The people who have been doing it and knowing somewhat like what's coming and things, right. Because there's going to be a lot of people who actually are very new to, quote unquote, this.
Well, they're going to be in crisis emotionally, confused. Look how many people in New England are in crisis right now. And that was a violent awakening.
Yes.
Nonetheless, it was part of an awakening.
Yeah.
So
and look at people around the country that are, you know, for no reason being droned and things. That's a crisis. We have crises. They're all over.
Yes.
So, yeah, I agree. People, they're going to, you know, come a bit away from that and feel pretty lost. So,
we're going into a time when leadership will absolutely require a moral compass.
Well, that in itself is just going to blow so many political parties and things. If we're talking
about,
going to
blow the man down. That's what that's going to do.
That is, yeah.
And that's going to take years.
Yeah.
But the platform, which really began. Probably 40 years ago to become very projective and demonstrative, is finding its nexus point in world ages as they come and go
right now.
We're living in it. Do you know who I think one of the greatest shamans of the last century was?
I don't know. Who?
Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Okay, got to explain that one. Okay.
He said there is nothing to fear, but fear
itself.
That's enlightenment.
Yeah.
And that's the gig.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, when you said that, the greatest shaman in the last century, it's like, who would, No, yeah.
I mean, in one sentence, he gives it all up. And you know, we know a lot. We have a great deal of experience. We still go through our humanity, our ups and downs. Maybe we do it 10 degrees higher or deeper. Than others because we have chosen to walk this path where we shine the light forward and backwards so people can see where to go.
Well, this is true. So I think that we do maybe feel things deeper or maybe in a different, just a little different way. But we see the bigger picture too.
Yes.
And that really does help. Even in the midst of our, like you said, well, we're human, we have our own issues and all, but even in the midst of the most horrendous for us, we still know that there's more. A bigger picture.
And Tommy's right, we're not.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Tommy can be very concise. Right, and we're nuts. So, hey, bravo for nuts, and, you know, It works. Well, you know, once they used to talk about thinking outside the box, and then there was one that said, "What box?" And I'm more there. Yeah, what box? That, you know, our only limits are the ones we put there. So, I mean, as humans. And no, everybody can't. Everyone in the United States potentially could not grow up to be president, okay? You know, that was one of those things they used to tell kids. And, you know, it's, with our economy the way, I mean, with capitalism and these different, that's a complete lie. But we can, we can get our center centered.
You know what?
No matter what we're doing.
I think you were right. Before, when you said that we've got to blow the man down.
Yeah.
It's going to take maybe 100 years, but the paradigm is shifting.
What is?
And people are waking up. And I got friends in Pakistan and then Iran and Russia, and they think the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And, of course, you know, being a knower of reincarnation, I plan on being back to enjoy it.
Absolutely.
You know, the fruits of our labor. We're coming back. We're going to just say, yeah, I remember when. And that's the other part of it now.
We're challenged because we know the truth of it to actually reach back and bring the experiences of those previous lives into this one, right? To help ground the future.
Yeah, and that's quite a mouthful right there. That's something. But those of us who have checked out those lives, yeah, we know, and we don't dwell on that, but we know that the tools we picked up then is what we're using now.
Yeah.
And so we'll be doing it again. It's like, okay, this is fantastic.
Yeah, and it's really important to remember to leave the drama behind.
Yes, yes.
It can be fun at its time and place, but we're not after.
Yeah. Right.
We're doing the real deal.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's fine if you want to play some games with people where you can dress up and be another person or whatever kind of drama you want to go through. But just, you know, that's not the real thing. That's not what we're looking for. So, Gwen, finish. Tell us where Daughters of Isis is and how we can find Here Be Monsters. Talk a little about that and then give us some words of wisdom.
Well, you can find Daughters of Isis quite easily online.
Just daughtersofisisalltogether.com.
And we basically offer you those tools of sensuality to wake up, and we begin with the Ayurvedic traditions. The self, the chakra, and we also offer companion collections to our oils of flower essences that reach from the physical into the unseen or immaterial world with our light body and flower essence formula. So it's all over there. I'm always available. Anybody has questions? They can find me on Facebook, our Daughters of Isis page. You can post there. Or call me on the phone. I'm happy to answer questions. That's my job. And we have a radio show called the Consciousness Show on Here Be Monsters right here on Blog Talk Radio. And we're on tomorrow night at 7 p.m., Nicole and I.
Right.
So, word of wisdom.
Yeah.
I grew up at the beach. I had a surfboard in my hands from 13 through many years. And I got to tell you, the zooey is happening. The waves are up. People grab your board.
I love that analogy. Yes.
Yeah, we're riding the waves now.
Well, there may be a bumpy ride kind of thing, but it's going to be beautiful. That's all, I feel so sure of that.
A little disclaimer, I really never did think that motherships were coming to take us away.
Or rescue us. I think the fun, the beauty, and the joy of all of this is that we're going to make it. Yeah.
On our own, with the help we ask for, but no one will do it for us but us.
That's right. I want to repeat one more time. Tommy's asking, the website is daughtersofisis.com.
Yes. And it's Daughters of Isis all together.
Right. And on Facebook, it's Daughters of Isis.
It is. Or Gwendolyn Holmberry, you can find me there.
Right.
Or you can see me on your page.
Right, right.
Gwen is all around.
Gwen, once you know that she's around, you know she's really all around. So, my friend, my dear friend, thank you so much.
And, oh, my sister, thank you.
I want to talk to you after the 8 minutes, just to see what's happening. So you're going to enjoy it with family. So.
And I think I'll probably be home and settled. I don't know. I really don't. But whatever, I'm going to be buckled in.
Right. So, okay. Well, we will see you soon.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Interesting. So what is meant by the phrase DNA basically, if one part is what we call activated, that means it's sort of like a light switch. There's enough energy that's flowing through that particular strand of DNA so that it can now communicate with the cells that are surrounding it.
Mm-hmm.
Then that piece of DNA is informing the rest of the body what it should do and not do. But if it's turned off, kind of like a light switch, if there's no consciousness stream feeding that particular strand of DNA, then we call that deactivated because it can no longer communicate with the cells that are surrounding it.
And how does one achieve DNA activation? Is it something that has to be taught to them, or is it just part of our evolution at this period in time?
I would say a little bit of both. People are going to learn. Basically, with the buffer time disappearing, it's going to be very difficult for people to miss the fact that they create their own reality and their own bodies. And so when they start realizing that, it'll become more important for even your average Joe to be deliberate about what they're thinking about. So that's going to be something which is sort of an inevitable of this shift. But we can help this along by picking our thoughts deliberately. So let me say, if you were to think a thought like, I am too short, that thought activates the portion of your DNA, the strand, which is dedicated towards dictating how tall or short you are. So if we were to incrementally change our thoughts, then we could change how tall or short we were. It's just that the majority of people are so suckled on the physical dimension, so suckled on the reality, that many of them, even if they were going to change their thoughts, they wouldn't actually believe it. So there would be a massive amount of doubt. So if we still have doubt, it's going to still be activating our short gene, so to speak. So if we can consciously change every thought we're thinking, including the thoughts we're thinking about how static reality is, then we will see incredible changes, changes that once we would have thought were impossible, because those thoughts are what's activating the DNA, which is informing the body what to become or not become.
Interesting. Very interesting. Thank you. So many people right now are having these really profound metaphysical experiences. People have never had such experiences before. For some, it's visions or dreams. Others, it's strange messages that they're receiving from light beings or ETs. And for others, it's seeing repeated number sequences or angel numbers. Where is all this coming from? And is there? What can you tell us about what it all means to us?
Well, this is a symptom of the fact that we're increasing in frequency. The higher the frequency, the more access you have to all of the information that's within this universe. And the higher your frequency is, the less restricted you are by the physical laws that apply here. So here in our physical bodies, when we're completely focused into the third dimension, it is difficult for us to have access to what somebody is doing halfway across the world because we perceive that we're limited by time and space. When you increase in frequency, you're going closer to the fourth dimensional awareness. You're no longer limited by those things. So you're getting a lot more information psychically and otherwise that you would not have gotten before. And it's common even for people who have never had those experiences that virtue of them increasing their frequency, even when they're not really aware that it's happening, for them to start having those kinds of experiences. It's sort of like, it may be corny, but I like to call it the glitches in the matrix. The higher the vibration goes, the less static this third dimensional reality is. And so even people who are not really jumping on the boat of spirituality yet are having these experiences where there's kind of a glitch in the matrix in the third dimension, and suddenly it's causing them to doubt whether this is all real or whether it is just sort of a learning hologram.
I was just asking, where is it all coming from?
that's kind of difficult because it changes based on the person. So one person, when they raise their frequencies, can be matched to a different energy. Because we all have different energies. That's what makes you, 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 and me, me. So when I raise my frequency, I might be more of a match to Pleiadian energies. And so I might be most likely to start channeling the Pleiadian energy. Now, other people, when they raise their frequency, they might be more of a match to the Gaia energy. So they might be getting much more information in terms of the Earth, and they might be able to manifest things physically here much more easily. Does that sort of make sense?
Yeah, it does a lot. Do you think then that in a sense, almost each of us have maybe a different role to play in this, depending on the frequencies that we're matching to?
100%.
Okay.
The frequency, when your frequency goes up and you're a match to whatever it is that you're a match to, and it will be different, that's your indication that you are a piece of this puzzle. So the new Earth that is to
about the world a lot of people are very enmeshed in today, the world that a lot of people are experiencing, one of extreme political unrest, wars, genocide, political infighting, environmental degradation, poverty and disease, all the horrible things. My question was going to be, is there still hope for the human race? I feel like from everything we've said so far, there is, but what can you say to people that are deeply enmeshed in those really horrible things that are happening right now?
Nobody really likes my answer to this, but it is my answer nonetheless. Basically, if people are entrenched into these types of things, they have got to withdraw their focus. Most of our problems are that we don't understand that mind creates reality. So we think that focusing on the wars is going to alleviate the wars. We think that we have to be motivated by atrocity to do anything here. But anytime you focus on anything that doesn't feel good to focus on, you're perpetuating that particular vibration. So if we're talking vibrationally, which is the precursor to everything here, if you're in a state of poverty and you focus on the state of poverty and the lack in your life, you will be perpetuating it. So everyone individually needs to withdraw their attention from what doesn't feel good to be looking at and put in the direction of what they would prefer. If all of us were able to do that simultaneously, we would create this new earth tonight.
Amazing.
Yeah. So there's tons of hope. The answer is the hope is just astronomical. And, you know, I made a joke in my last conference, which is more serious than it is a joke, which is that the people who are ascending right now are so incredibly focused on that kind of ascending and that kind of awareness and awakening. And the people who are holding a very low vibration are so focused on resisting the people who are awakening that, you know, either way, everyone's focusing on the awakening. It's not even a question in the universe as to whether everyone's going to awaken. They're going to. It's so fast just by virtue of the fact that the people that are resisting us do not even understand that they're feeding us while they do so.
Very interesting. So is there an evil race of aliens or humans or otherwise known as the New World Order? And if so, are they a group the rest of us should fear, or do we have to battle them at some point?
Well, if we come up against the Illuminati, then all we're doing is resisting them, which, as I just said previously, whenever you resist something, you are feeding that energy. Do they exist? Yes. Are they evil? No. There are people that are trapped in illusion. These are a group of, usually it's a select group of families, basically, which have been functioning for many, many years. And they have got themselves in a state of fear, that they have bred that fear into each successive person that gets born into the family and brought into the groups. So they're selling fear, they're breeding fear, they're perpetuating fear, and now they've got this kind of idea, which is a very popular third-dimensional fear idea, which is that you have to have power over something else in order to be safe. So they come from a very fearful, very illusionary type of a space, but they are seeking to gain as much power as they can. So to them, the safety of the moment means more than other people's lives and other things like this. But it's difficult to explain this not being a context of evil, seeing as how most people don't relate to what it's like to be in a life or death situation. If you feel as if you're in a life or death situation, you would sacrifice even your best friend. That's the way that our bodies work, our fight or flight mechanisms. And so they're thinking about the world in such a way that makes them so desperately fearful that they would basically do anything to keep their power. So aren't they there? Are they going to resist this? Yes, they're going to resist this, but instead of us focusing on that, it's important that all of us that are moving towards this new Earth, I guess, which is in the exact opposite direction of the Illuminati, understand that the one thing here that trumps everything is thought. If you're capable of lining up with the feeling good thoughts that you can be thinking, if you're capable of lining up with your desire, you cannot be a match to the things which would make you feel powerless. So even if they tried, they could not contain the awakening that is happening here, which is why so many of us came down during this time in order to help people find their own awakening, because you cannot control something which is awakened, and they know that.
Interesting. So really the way to, it's not really, I don't even want to use the word fight, it's not really fighting them, but in the best way in order to maybe deal with this whole idea of an Illuminati is just really to put your focus elsewhere.
Yes, 100%. If you're focusing on the Illuminati, you are feeding the energy of the Illuminati, which is going to help us. that they are resisting so many of those of us that are awakening is going to help us eventually because their focus is on us. See, anytime you look at something and you say, I don't want it, you're feeding it energy. Anytime you look at something and say, I want it, you're feeding it energy. This is an inclusion-based universe, meaning that anything you put your attention on, you perpetuate. You can't say, like most people are walking around in their day-to-day lives saying, okay, I'm going to think all day, every day about what I don't want, and then I expect the universe to give me the exact opposite. Yeah, which is a misunderstanding. The universe will become the exact reflection, just like a mirror, of anything you're thinking about. So if you're able to withdraw your attention from the Illuminati, withdraw your attention from the things that make you feel powerless and make you feel bad, put them on something that feels good to you emotionally, go in the direction of what you want, then we will amass such a huge amount of energy here that potentially even those that belong to the Illuminati will be enlightened with us, saying, you know, some of them will be brought into sort of like a scale. I like to talk about the scale. So we've got a scale, and you've got the Illuminati-type energy, which is majorly fearful, power-based energy on one side, then you've got the awakened-type energy on the other side. Now, if you get enough of us that are on that one side, we will eventually tip them over so that you can bring even some of these people who were raised in these highly fearful families to the side of awakening, which is in their own best interest. And I see this even happening nowadays, I have to be honest. There are some people who were part of these families who have found awakening. Have they been ostracized by their families at this point? Oh, yes, but there are some of them that are awakening as well.
Wonderful. That's really great to hear. So we're talking about this, we're using this word awakening quite a bit, and I hear it spoken about all the time. What does it mean to be awakened? And does one need a teacher, a guru, or otherwise to achieve that state?
No one technically needs anybody to achieve that state because all the information within the universe is contained with them. And it's not even contained. It's available to everyone, I should say. So you don't need a teacher. Sometimes all a teacher helps you do is to wake up to certain truths within the universe, to change your mind about what might be possible. So the answer is no, you don't need anybody. It's just if it feels good for you to have somebody sort of guide you on this path, then it's not wrong for you to do. What we're talking about in terms of awakening is when Source first decided that it wanted to know itself, it started separating and separating and separating furthest from itself. So here you have the physical dimension, which is the furthest most separation from Source energy, which is oneness, right? We're sitting in the separated consciousness. Now, you have to forget completely what you are if you want to know what you are in the first place. That's just a basic principle of understanding. In order to know black, you must know white, and vice versa. So in order to know itself in a state of oneness, Source had to separate to a point of separateness and to the furthest extent that it can. It can only know itself if it first does not know itself. So we are coming out of this time period of not knowing the self, meaning most of us who are down here for the last thousands of years, there are always exceptions, but the majority of people, we've been getting separated and separated to the point where we have lost our God force consciousness. We see ourselves as separate from that which is God. Some of us don't even see that the God exists. You know,
right.
There is a universal energy. By God, I don't mean somebody in the sky that's throwing thunderbolts. I mean, you know, the universal, united, energetic consciousness, that which is bigger than just us and our singular identities. So, for the most part, we've been ignorant to that which we truly are. So when we're talking about awakening, it means that we've kind of been in this ignorant sleep, where we've been functioning down here in a physical dimension, unaware of who and what we really are. The great awakening is that people are starting to expand their mind, get outside of the box so much so that they're asking, what am I beyond this individual self? So we've seen this forever. It's not a different path than those that have awakened before, so the Buddha and the Christ consciousness. These beings have done already what most of us are doing now. It's just that now the Great Awakening means that a lot of us are doing it at once. So, you know, Buddha sits there under the Bodhi tree and he awakens to who he really is, to all of his past lives and to the nature, the temporary nature of this universe and the nature of oneness. Now, we are all doing that in this huge number right now. Same exact process, and it's 10 times easier seeing with how the entire dimension we're living in is also raising the frequency. So it's kind of like riding a wave.
Mm-hmm. We talk in the idea of choosing to be on the planet at this time. What does that mean? I mean, I'm not even sure how to phrase my question, but How have people chosen to be here at this time, and which would obviously suggest that we have been here before?
Oh, yeah. Well, I have not met a human that has not been here before. At this point, we've been here for so long, coming into and out of life, that I literally have never met somebody that does not have previous lives who was in a human physical incarnation now. But the reason that we would pick to come down now is the same reason you would pick to go on the roller coaster at a Six Flags theme park. It's because the interest in the universe and the most expansion in this universe is coming out of the time-space dimensions, which have got this much contrast going. And so it's kind of like you watch all the surfers who are out in the waves when you go down to, like, the California coast or somewhere, mm-hmm. and you watch them all sort of sit in there and they wave for, like, a few sets, and then you watch a really big wave come in, and it's almost like they all try to jump up at the same time. It's because of the thrill of experiencing the expansion, the same way that it's because of the thrill of riding that particular wave. So many of us know what is to come in terms of our own understanding of this universe and God's self-realization, that we come down to experience this serious time of change.
But where are we when we're not here?
Well, that depends, because it depends whether you decide to incarnate into a fourth dimensional landscape. It depends on whether you've decided to incarnate into a different life. If you're not incarnated, period, the end, then you spend time in non-physical consciousness, which is the mind of God. You are God. There's no separation between you and God. You can't even perceive the separation.
Oh, that statement just gives me chills. Good chills.
Good.
Jill, who are the Indigos, and what is their purpose?
Well, every time, so basically, when you're in non-physical consciousness and you choose into a physical life, you choose into that life based on an intention. The Indigos were the people who had the intention to pave the way for the new Earth. That's why there was a huge wave of them that came in the 70s and 80s, and it's basically the first time you really saw a big wave of that particular vibration. So what dictates that particular color is the vibration of the energy, the intention for coming into life of those beings. It's ironic, though, because being the first wave, as far as the spiritual types go, they are potentially the most resistant. They're known as the warriors or the waygoers, meaning that they come down here and they know that they're going to encounter an intense amount of resistance, and so their wills are pretty much insane. But for the individual, it's very difficult then to learn that resistance is not the way to go about it. We can take our same amount of zeal, sort of warrior type energy, but not have it be the energy of pushing against, but rather the energy turning in the direction of. That's the key for the indigo. So we have our own type of issues. But in general, we intend to come down here and pave the way for the earth. So now you've got the crystals. It's ironic because we always come up with the most metaphysical, dorky type names for it, but you've got the crystals and the rainbows now that are coming in that are not resistant type energies. In fact, they get bowled over quite quickly by coming down here and into a sort of a much lower density. But, you know, the rainbow children, which you're seeing nowadays, which I encountered my first probably 2 years ago, was unbelievable. It was this tiny little child that was in that park, and I sat down in her energy field, and I never wanted to leave again. They are by far the closest source, and the rainbow aura basically entails the fact that they contain the vibration of the totality, the full spectrum, so they are the closest to God. Now, they're absolutely fabulous beings. They are almost absent of resistance completely. It's very difficult to train them out of alignment. So the indigos came down and made the earth kind of different for those that would come after us. Because it's like if you take a crystal, right, and you throw them into a world like the ones the indigos came into, they're not going to make it. Usually past their fifth birthday.
Wow.
Yeah.
So there's these waves of more and more, I don't know, enlightened beings coming down to the earth that are helping us, sort of guiding us into this greater awakening?
Yes, and it's not like they're total philanthropists. So we like to do this too. It's like, all of us need help and they're perfect. No, it's that every single being, the most enlightened beings also, when they come down here and make a choice, it's a mutually beneficial thing. So they come down in response to the universal asking, but they also come down because it serves their own expansion. To be an enlightened being who comes into an environment where there are many unenlightened beings is its own set of learning, its own set of expansion. It's like a platform for their own expansion, which is why they would choose to come down here. But more and more and more and more are coming because so much is known to the universe based on the perception. perspective that they get when they come down here in an enlightened consciousness already and exist in a temporal world. It's very, very, very difficult. It creates a lot of expansion. That's contrast even in and of itself to be an enlightened being and to have physical laws suddenly. You know, gravity.
Gravity. I love it. Well, Teal, this has been such a wonderful information packed into a very quick 30 minutes. Is there anything else that you would like to share with our listening audience today, either whether it be about, awakening, things happening in the world or your world, or special meditations people can be doing to help themselves along, anything else that you'd like to share?
I think it's important that the people who are listening understand just how awesome all of this is. I was watching today, so I don't like to watch the news, you know. That's my least favorite thing to do, seeing as how the news only shows you what they want you, what it benefits them for you to know, which is usually selling you fear because people are more controllable when they're in fear. But lately I've been watching, especially in response to what's been happening, you know, with the shootings that recently happened over in Connecticut, and I must say I'm surprised and impressed. I feel like what we're headed towards, especially, you know, this whole Friday, 21st of December coming up, is absolutely fabulous. What I'm watching is even people who are, by, I guess, spiritual standards in very low vibration, a lot of them are jumping on the boat. I feel like this, I don't want to call it an army, because there, yet again, we've got an association with fighting, but it's sort of like an army of light here, and I can feel it amassing. I can feel people awakening just day by day. They're getting outside the box. Those people who are spending their time in fear are now spending their time focused on things that are making them feel good. And so those of us who are really afraid about what's to come here and afraid about the resistance, I think it's time that we actually back off of that and take some time to celebrate, because I can take tabs, you know, given my abilities, I can take tabs on the general vibration of the human race, and it's actually much better than I thought it would be. So it's superseded my own expectations. So that is a cause for celebration for me. So I suggest that all of us on the 21st feel completely haywire excited about what is to come.
I love it. Teal, if people are interested in learning more about your teachings, workshops, spiritual art, among other things that you do, where can they get more information?
Well, my website is always going to have updated information on it. That's www.thespiritualcatalyst.com. And I also do a lot of Facebook updates. And so far, those are the two mediums that I have really thrown myself into. I also have a Saturday video, which I put out, the Ask Teal series. I put out a video on YouTube every single Saturday. So if people are interested in more information, they should tune into and subscribe to that. And anything else, I will give you updates on in the future.
Excellent, excellent. Teal, thank you so much again for agreeing to come on the show. And I hope that you have a wonderful solstice, as I'm sure all of us will as well.
Oh, yes, you all will and I will. Hell yes, let's do this.
All right, well, you have a wonderful night. Thank you again.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, everyone, you've heard it from Teal Scott herself, the spiritual catalyst. It's time for us to, you know, change our focus. If we want to see a change in this world, we need to change what we're focusing on. Let's give the energy to the world we want to see, to the world we want to believe in. It's as simple as that. We are energetic beings living in an energetic universe. And if we want to change this universe, then we have to change the way that we think about the universe. Because thought is power. All right? So I'm going to work on this. We all need to work on this together. And that's how we're going to create the new earth, the new world. I'm ready for it. How about you? All right, everyone. Thanks again for listening to another episode of 30 Minutes. Look for us again next week. Next Wednesday, there will be a show the day after Christmas where I'll be doing part two of my review of the documentary Half the Sky. Possibly focusing on the wrong things, but once again, you know, there are things in the world that we all need to be aware of so that we know how to adjust our focus to improve the world. That's the way I'm looking at it. Anyway, so thanks again for listening.